Good morning, everyone. So, for this morning, Monday, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to try out a hysterical literature where, if I come while reading, then I have to stop reading. But I'm going to try and last as long as I can. Touching myself. And reading one of my favorite poems. It's a long one, so I'll get plenty of time. It's, Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti. Now, poetry is not necessarily going to come out as fluidly as it's supposed to, because I'm masturbating and it's hard to concentrate, but I'm genuinely going to try and give it my best shot, okay? Fuck. Yes. I'm gonna try and make it all the way through. God. Okay. I'm gonna try and do the best I can. Reading this poem. I really love this poem. I'll admit it might be a little dark for a hysterical literature. Fuck. But it's all... Oh, God. It's also kind of sexy, so... Alright. So this is, Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti. Please forgive me for any mispronunciations. I'm a little distracted. Morning and evening, maids heard the goblins cry. Come buy our orchard fruits. Come buy, come buy. Apples and quinces, lemons and oranges, plump unpecked cherries, melons and raspberries, bloom-down peaches, swart-headed mulberries, wild freeborn cranberries, crabapples, dewberries, pineapples, blackberries, apricots, strawberries, all ripe together in summer weather. Morns that pass by, fair eves that fly, come by, come by. Our grapes fresh from the vine, pomegranates full and fine, dates and sharp bullaces, rare pears and green gages, damsons and bilberries, taste them and try, currants and gooseberries, bright fire like barberries, figs to fill your mouth, citrons from the south, sweet to tongue and sound to eye, come by, come by. Evening by evening among the brookside rushes, Laura bowed her head to hear. Lizzie veiled her blushes, crouching close together in the cooling weather, with clasping arms and cautioning lips, with tingling cheeks and fingertips. Lie close, Laura said. Pricking up her golden head. We must not look at goblin men. We must not buy their fruits. Who knows upon what soil they fed their hungry, thirsty roots? "Come by," called the goblins, hobbling down the glen. "Oh," cried Lizzie, "Laura, Laura, you should not peep at goblin men." Lizzie covered up her eyes, covered lest they should look. Laura reared her glossy head and whispered like the restless brook. Look, Lizzie, down. Fuck. And whispered like the restless brook. Look, Lizzie. Down the glen tramped little men. One hauls a basket, one bears a plate, one lugs a golden dish of many pounds weight. How fair the vine must grow, whose grapes are so luscious. How warm the wind must blow through those fruit bushes. No, said Lizzie, no, their offers should not charm us. Their evil gifts would harm us. She thrust a dimpled finger in each ear, shut eyes and ran. Curious Laura chose to linger, wondering at each merchant man. One had a cat's face, one whisked a tail. One tramped at a rat's pace, one crawled like a snail. One like a wombat prowled obtuse and furry. One like a rattle tumbled hurry-scurry. She heard a voice like the voice of doves cooing all together. They sounded kind and full of loves in the pleasant weather. Fuck. Laura stretched her gleaming neck like a rush-embedded swan, like a lily from the beck, like a moonlit poplar branch, like a vessel at the launch when its last restraint is gone. Backwards up the mossy glen, turned and trooped the goblin men. With their shrill repeated cry, come by. When they reached where Laura was, they stood stock still upon the moss, leering at each other, brother with queer brother signaling each other, brother with sly brother. One set his basket down, one reared his plate, one began to weave a crown of tendrils, leaves, and rough nuts brown. Men sell not such in any town. One heaved the golden weight of dish and fruit to offer her. Come by, was still their cry. Laura stared, but did not stir. Longed, but had no money. The whisk-tailed merchant bade her taste in tones as smooth as honey. The cat face purred. The rat face spoke a word of welcome, and the snail paste even was heard. One parrot, voiced and jolly, cried pretty goblin still for pretty Polly. One whistled like a bird. But sweet tooth Laura spoke in haste. Good folk, I have no coin to take or to purloin. I have no copper in my purse. I have no silver either. All my gold is on the furze that shakes in windy weather above the rusty heather. You have much gold upon your head, they answered all together. Buy from us with a golden curl. She clipped a precious golden lock. She dropped a tear more rare than pearl, then sucked the fruit globes fair or red, sweeter than honey from the rock, stronger than man rejoicing wine, clearer than water flowed that juice she'd never tasted such before. How should it cloy with length of use? She sucked and sucked and sucked the more fruits which she had an unknown orchard bore. She sucked until her lips were sore, then flung the emptied rinds away, but gathered up one kernel stone, and knew not was it night or day, as she returned home alone. Lizzie met her at the gate, full of wise upbraidings. "Dear, you should not stay so late. Twilight is not good for maidens. Should not loiter in the glen, in the haunts of goblin men. Do you remember Jeanie, how she met them in the moonlight? Took their gifts, both choice and money, ate their fruits and wore their flowers, plucked from bowers where summer ripens at all hours. But ever in the noonlight, she pined and pined away, sought them by night and day, found them no more, but dwindled and grew gray, then fell with the first snow, while to this day no grass will grow where she lies low. I planted daisies there a year ago that never blow. You should not loiter so. Fuck. Nay, hush, said Laura. Nay, hush, my sister. I ate and ate my fill, yet my mouth waters still. Tomorrow night I will buy more, and kissed her. Have done with sorrow, I'll bring you plums tomorrow. Fresh on the mother twigs, cherries worth getting. You cannot think what figs my teeth have met in, what melons icy cold, piled on a dish of gold, too huge for me to hold, what peaches with velvet nap, pellucid grapes without one seed, odorous indeed. Ah, must be the mead whereupon they grow, and pure the wave they drink, with lilies at the brink, and sugar sweet their sap. Golden head, like two pigeons in one nest, folded in each other's wings, they lay down in their curtained bed, like two blossoms on one stem, like two flakes of new fallen snow, like two wands of ivory tipped with gold for awful kings. Moon and stars gazed at them, wind sang to them, lullaby lumbering owls forbore to fly, not a bat flapped to and fro, ran their nest, their rest, cheek to cheek, and breast to breast, locked together in one nest. No, I can't breathe. Early in the morning, when the first cock crowed his warning, neat like bees, as sweet and busy, Laura rose with Lizzie, fetched and honey milked the cows, aired and set to rights the house, needs cakes of whitest wheat, cakes for dainty mouths to eat, next churned butter, whipped up cream, fed their poultry, sat and sewed, talked as modest maidens should, Lizzie with an open heart, Laura in an absent dream. One content, one sick in part, one warbling for the mere bright day's delight, one longing for the night. At length, slow evening came. They went with pitchers to the reedy brook. Lizzie most placid in her look, Laura most like a leaping flame. They drew the gurgling water from its deep. Lizzie plucked purple and rich golden flags, then turning homeward said, "This sunset flushes those furthest loftiest crags. Come, Laura, not another maiden's lags. No willful squirrel wags. The beast and birds are fast asleep, but Laura loitered still among the rushes, and said the bank was steep, and said the hour was early still, The dew not fallen and wind not chill, listening ever but not catching the customary cry, come by, with its irritated jingle of sugar-baited words, not for all her watching once discerning even one goblin, racing, whisking, tumbling, hobbling, let alone the herds that used to tramp along the glen, in groups or single, of brisk fruit merchant men, till Lizzie urged, oh, Laura, come, I hear the fruit call, but I dare not look. You should not loiter longer at this brook. Come with me home. The stars rise. The moon bends her arc. Each glowworm winks her spark. Let us get home before the night grows dark, for clouds may gather, though this is summer weather. Put out the lights and drench us through. Then we lost our way. Then if we lost our way, what should we do? Laura turned cold as stone to find her sisters. Heard that cry alone. That goblin cry, come buy her fruits, come buy. Must she then buy no more such dainty fruit? Must she no more such precious pasture find? Gone deaf and blind, her tree of life looped from the root. She said not one word in her heart's sore ache, but peering through the dimness, not discerning, trudged home, her pitcher dripping all the way. So crept to bed and lay silent still, silent till Lizzie slept. Then sat up in passionate yearning, and gnashed her teeth for balked desire, and wept as if her heart would break. Day after day, night after night, Laura kept watch in vain. In sullen silence of exceeding pain, she never caught again the goblin cry, come by, come by. She never spied the goblin men hawking their fruit along the glen. But when the noon waxed bright, her hair grew thin and gray. She dwindled as the fearful moon doth turn to swift decay and burn her fire away. One day, remembering her kernel stone, she sat it by a wall that faced the south, dewed it with tears, hoped for a root, watched for a waxing shoot. But there came none. I never saw the sun, and never God. Okay. I didn't make it through the poem, but that's okay. That means that I'll have to try and finish it some other time. It was a little different, but I hope you enjoyed it anyway. And I hope you have a lovely Monday and a lovely week. Bye.